This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
The Philippines gives the U.S. access to more military bases to counter China. Plus, oil giant Shell posts record profits, and why activist investors are increasingly swarming major companies.
With the stocks of a Salesforce or a Disney down, it makes sense that multiple players would kind of be licking their chops, so to speak, at these bigger businesses.
It's Thursday, February 2nd. I'm Luke Vargas with the Wall Street Journal, and here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The United States has reached an agreement giving it access to four more military bases in the Philippines, broadening Washington's efforts to counter China's influence. The deal was announced during a visit to the Philippines by U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Wall Street Journal Southeast Asia reporter Feliz Solomon says the agreement is significant for both countries.
Firstly, it shows that the alliance between the two countries is getting stronger after it had a rough few years under the former Philippines President Duterte. Secondly, it gives the U.S. a much stronger posture if it needs to respond to crises, for instance, in the South China Sea or around the Taiwan Strait. And both sides agree that it's good for the Philippines. It helps them upgrade their bases and train their troops. And it could also be really helpful in emergencies like natural disasters.
President Biden and Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy have begun debt ceiling talks to avoid the U.S.'s first ever default on its debt. Wednesday's meeting at the White House came as Republicans say that they want an agreement to cut government spending in exchange for voting to increase the nation's borrowing limit, though Republicans haven't internally agreed on what cuts they want. The White House, meanwhile, has insisted that there be no negotiating over the debt limit and that Congress should raise it without conditions. Short on cash, more Americans are tapping their 401k retirement accounts for financial emergencies. We are exclusively reporting that a record 2.8% of the 5 million people in 401k plans run by Vanguard Group tapped their retirement savings last year, according to the company, up from a pre-pandemic average of about 2%. That comes amid other signs of economic stress in U.S. households. In September, credit card balances returned to pre-pandemic levels, and in December, Americans saved just 3.4% of their monthly income, down from 7.5% a year earlier. Shares of companies linked to Indian billionaire Gautam Adani have now lost more than $100 billion in value since January 24th. Shares in flagship Adani Enterprises dropped by more than 25% today after his namesake conglomerate canceled a planned share sale that was meant to raise more than $2 billion. The rout comes after U.S. short seller Hindenburg Research alleged fraud and stock price manipulation at the conglomerate last week. The Adani Group has denied the allegations contained in the Hindenburg report. On the earnings front, Shell has become the latest oil giant to post record annual profits. The Dutch company's $41.6 billion full-year profit for 2022 surpasses its previous record from 2008 and follows historic results from Chevron and ExxonMobil in the past week as the industry benefits from strong global energy demand. Meanwhile, Germany's Deutsche Bank has posted a net rise in fourth quarter profit on the back of higher interest rates. That led to the bank's strongest year since 2007, vindicating efforts by Chief Executive Christian Sewing to rein in Deutsche, which for years was among the world's most troubled banks. And on deck for today, interest rate decisions are expected from the European Central Bank and the Bank of England, along with a host of earnings updates from tech giants Apple, Amazon, and Alphabet, as well as Ford Motors, chipmaker Qualcomm, and drug makers Eli Lilly and Merck. Companies relocating their operations away from Asia, as well as those simply looking to take advantage of free trade agreements, are converging on Mexico, leading to growth in the country's industrial hubs and increased hiring in its border cities. Wall Street Journal reporter Anthony Harrop has been following this latest shift in global trade, and he joins us now from Mexico City with more. Anthony, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hello, thank you. Nice to be here.
Describe this trend that you are seeing of companies expanding their footprint in Mexico. When exactly did this start, and how is this playing out?
This is something that's been happening for a long time with manufacturers moving to Mexico. Manufacturing is, in fact, around 90% of Mexico's exports. But it seems to have picked up from about 2020. And part of this has been the U.S. trade disputes with China. And then during the pandemic, there were a lot of global supply chain issues. For example, semiconductors, auto manufacturers in Mexico couldn't get enough. And that has led a number of companies to start looking to move their production closer to their main market, which is the U.S. People in Tijuana involved in this say that there's just a little more than 2% of industrial spaces available in that state, in Baja California, and it's even tighter in Tijuana, which is right across the border from San Diego. And that is because there's a lot of demand for industrial parks.
You described in passing a few reasons why companies are making the decision to expand their footprint in Mexico, but unpack those reasons a bit more for us.
In part, it is the USMCA trade agreement, which was the renegotiated version of NAFTA, and that went into effect in mid-2020. Particularly in the auto industry, it did change the rules for regional content, so that companies that are exporting vehicles to the U.S. have to have more of their content sourced within the USMCA region, within North America. Also, to a certain extent, is labor availability and labor costs in Mexico. In China, labor costs rose, and it's more expensive now on the labor side in China, so that is another consideration.
And would we recognize some of the companies that are engaged in scaling up their operations in Mexico?
Well, you would recognize Mattel when they made their decision to turn their Monterrey plant into their biggest toy manufacturing facility worldwide. And that was part of a decision to consolidate North American production. And they have several advantages there. One is clearly access to the U.S., but they also export to many other countries from Mexico.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter Anthony Harrop joining us from Mexico City. Anthony, thanks so much.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thank you.
Coming up, the number of companies being targeted by more than one activist investor, what bankers call swarming, is on the rise. We'll look at why after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Emboldened by beaten down share prices, shareholder activists are increasingly crowding into the same big names, from Salesforce to Disney or toy maker Hasbro. Journal reporter Lauren Thomas covers M&A and shareholder activism for us, and she joins us now with more on what is driving this trend of so-called activist swarms. Hey, Lauren, thanks for being with us.
Of course. No, thank you for having me.
So tell us, what is increasing the frequency with which multiple activist investors in these so-called swarms end up targeting the same companies?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's a really interesting trend. I mean, effectively, we're seeing these swarms increase as overall levels of activism increase as well. So if you go back to 2020 and obviously the start of the COVID pandemic, that really caused activism levels to fall off. And we saw a period in which activists, you know, whether it was Carl Icahn or Nelson Peltz at Trian, really took a pause. And now things have started started to stabilize. Certainly, stocks have fallen, and it really presents a great breeding ground for these activists to really pounce again. And clearly, we're seeing that show up in the numbers. There were 135 activist campaigns in the U.S. last year, and that was a 41% jump from the prior year. So within that, we're also seeing the swarms begin to grow.
And so the swarms specifically are increasing now, though, because shares are down. Is there more to it than that?
Yeah, I think there's definitely more to it. I think, again, just the fact that stocks have fallen and companies like a Disney, like a Salesforce, these are massive companies, right? And activists don't typically target such large cap names. They tend to go for middle ground or smaller players where there's more room for upside. And, you know, these big cap companies tend to see more stability in their share price. But with the stocks of a Salesforce or a Disney down, just as we've seen the overall market fall, it's really presented an opportunity for activists to play more in that space than they have been able to in prior years. And for that reason, I think it's just kind of logic. It makes sense that multiple players, multiple activist shareholders would kind of be licking their chops, so to speak, at these bigger businesses.
Lauren, what effect do these swarms have on the companies and executives that they target?
Yeah, it's a great question. So certainly one activist is enough, right, for a company to kind of work with them and navigate that terrain with just a single activist. So as you start to add to it, you know, it only makes sense that it becomes a larger headache for companies and boards to either strike agreements or could result in a full-fledged proxy fight, as is the case at Disney right now with Nelson Peltz. Take Salesforce, great example. There are at least four activists in that company right now, but we've already kind of sussed out that the activists are in the company for different reasons. And just because they're all in one stock doesn't mean they're all going to be asking for the same things, you know, whether it's a board seat or spin off this part of the business or buy back more stock. Like, they could be asking for a whole variety of things. And so the more activists that you see, the more chances are that they will have various requests. So again, from a company standpoint, just dealing with those mixed incentives, it's much more complex for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound like quite a challenge. And yet, are we seeing any evidence that boards are getting a bit savvier maybe about how they respond to these swarms if and when they occur?
Yeah, definitely. I spoke to a number of advisors as I was working on this story. This is not necessarily a new phenomenon. I think companies are aware that this can happen. More than anything, you want to be proactive as a company and just know that this is a possibility. And hopefully you're engaging with shareholders before it gets to the point where an activist is going public with their request. And, you know, it becomes more of a battle between the two. You know, in a perfect world, a company would love to strike an agreement kind of behind the scenes and never have to have this play out in the public.
Finally, Lauren, is this pattern likely to become more common going forward? I know you said, at least in terms of these swarms, we're sort of returning back to historic norms, but you also say overall shareholder activism is up. So is the sky kind of the limit here?
Definitely. I think for right now, and even more so, just because 2023, from everyone I talk to, it seems like it's going to be a prolific year for activism overall. Like I was saying earlier, you've got a lot of companies, particularly in the tech space, seeing much lower valuations than they were a year or two ago. So they're just feeling really vulnerable right now, and it creates a great breeding ground for activists. And as a result, I think it's inevitable that we'll see more activists end up in the same companies, certainly over the next 10 or 11 months. And we'll see what happens in 2024, I guess, as share prices begin to stabilize.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Thomas, who covers M&A and shareholder activism for us. Lauren, thank you so much for the update.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, forget heading to the break room to blow off some steam at work. Instead, marketing professionals are following in the steps of their legal, consulting, and finance peers and turning to meme accounts on social media for humor, news, and group therapy. WSJ reporter Patrick Coffey says those meme accounts, which consist of images and videos often drawn from pop culture and overlaid with original in-jokes, create a sense of community among entry-level staffers and CMOs alike by offering an unvarnished look at their work.
So a lot of them just kind of got bored or looked for an outlet like this where they could be more open about the business they work in. So they created these meme accounts. And they're kind of taking off. It primarily begins as a way to amuse themselves and then expands into a way to amuse as many other people as possible. And then in some cases, it evolves to even become a source of income or a way to have greater influence than they feel like they have. As one executive at an agency said to me, I get more employee requests about posts by Digital Chadvertising, which is a popular Instagram meme account, than I do about all of our coverage in the trade press.
And that's What's News for Thursday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.